And turning again to John's Gospel, in chapter 10 and verse 15 here this evening. Just the last part of this verse. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, just to start with this evening, friends, are we interested in that? Are we interested that the Lord Jesus Christ said such famous words whilst he was here in this world, on this earth? Are we interested that he should say such a thing? I lay down my life for the sheep. It may be an expression that is quite incomprehensible to you. Or it may be that over the years you know something of Christianity and you understand something of what this means, but can it mean anything personally? Are we interested in such a saying? Oh, friends, I hope we are this evening. This is life and death. This is eternal life, to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, and why he did that, and who he was that should do such a thing, and who he should do it for. Oh, these are vital matters for our souls and for our spiritual interest here this evening. We're in a safe place where we can open up the scriptures tonight and think about this. The Lord Jesus says, I lay down my life for my sheep, the sheep. Well, this chapter 10 of John's Gospel contains the most marvellous parable of the shepherd and the sheep. It's not a new parable to the New Testament, not even new in a sense for the Lord Jesus Christ, because all through the scripture we have this analogy of shepherds and sheep. Why, way back to the Old Testament days, some people even think that one of the reasons why Moses, the middle portion of his life, 40 years spent in the desert, was to learn to be an ordinary shepherd, so that later, the last 40 years of his life, he could lead the children of Israel to the promised land as a good shepherd, and to lead them with kindliness and with wisdom and all protection. Well, this is what we see. And then the shepherds are illustrated by the poets of the Old Testament. Of course, that grand psalm, Psalm 23. When I was a boy at school, we used to learn it off by heart. I don't know whether that's still done, but we love that psalm. Especially believers love it. It's so true to their experience that the Lord Jesus Christ is a good shepherd and watches over them. And if that's the case, then they have no real needs. Well, they may have physical needs in this world, but spiritually they're taken care of absolutely and completely. And then Isaiah and the other prophets, they take up this theme as well, of a shepherd and the sheep, sheep being scattered, needing a shepherd, and a good shepherd predicted to come in the form of the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to come and he's going to gather his people together, and he's going to protect them and watch over them, and they're going to follow him. Friends, we come to John chapter 10, and this is very well known by the listeners at that time, by the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, by unbelievers that would listen to him. This was not a novel theme for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, some things the Saviour tells us, and some things even in this chapter that we wouldn't know about, except he tell us, for he is divine, he is God, he is the only one that can reveal these things to us. And except we come to believe what the Revelation says, the Bible says, we'll go on guessing concerning what we understand about life. But friends, though the Lord Jesus Christ says so many novel things and things that we could never come to in our own wisdom or understanding, yet the actual parable of this chapter, really not just one parable, but there are several running into each other, and it's quite hard to unravel them in some ways. But here we have a glorious parable that is illustrated all through the scripture. But it's not the man-made illustration. So detailed is this illustration in the Bible that it's almost as if God had Christ and his people in mind when he created sheep. Will you just forgive me for a moment, friends, if I just speak as perhaps God might have thought? Well, of course I can't do that, but you'll understand why I say this. But was it that before anything was made, before creation came into being, before this universe was ever made and thought of in the mind of God? Well, of course it was from eternity. But the thing is that in that situation, did God think, what sort of animal could I make that would clearly illustrate clearly illustrate what we have here that we could have as an absolute pattern. An absolute pattern for Christ and his people. And it's as if the Lord created sheep just for that reason. It's as if God created them so that they might indeed illustrate in a marvellous way, in such a perfect way, what people are like. I think also what people are like before they're converted, before they come to Christian conversion, and then what they're like afterwards. It's almost as if God had those in mind when he created sheep. Well, I say that and you understand why I say it. Domestic sheep, of all animals, need protection. And sheep, well, they're so prone to wander. And sheep, they're so foolish. Well, we don't like to hear that, do we? But friends, so like mankind, foolish. They have no personal means of protection, really, self-protection. Oh, they're easy prey. What a picture of man. What a picture of mankind. Easy prey. Easily led. Easily frightened. They need to be taken to their food or given their food. They cannot get it on their own. It's just perfect, isn't it? This animal that we have, that we're so familiar with, and we understand, of course, is so like man. No wonder this is the great illustration in the scripture. So many parables concerning the sheep. But given a shepherd, especially the eastern type shepherd, we have to understand that, these sheep instinctively know their shepherd. They follow. They follow their shepherd. Not like sheep and shepherds in our country, where really the relationship is not built up in any sense, and they're driven by the dog or by the shepherd into different situations, more by fright. But no, these Middle Eastern shepherds, even today, the sheep follow them. They know their voice. And names are given even to the sheep. It's a wonderful thing, a marvellous thing. And when the shepherd is with them, well, they don't display the slightest concern. This is what we read of, even today, of sheep and shepherds. You know, I was fascinated years ago listening to a Christian lecturer. He told us of his experience in Palestine. And he was woken up early one morning by a friend. And he said, come, there's something you've got to see. And so he was taken out. And there was, in this little village he was staying, the fold, a brick fold, with a door where the shepherd would lay, and the shepherd would literally be the door. And there were apparently three flocks there that night. And the first shepherd comes along and he begins to whistle, he begins to speak, and he begins to name his sheep. And this friend that was telling us, this lecturer, he was telling us that immediately this shepherd calling his sheep by name, they come out. Not the other two flocks, just this one flock. And they come out and they follow him and off he goes. A little while later, the second shepherd comes. And again, he whistles and he calls and he begins to name the sheep. And gradually, the two flocks that are left sort themselves out. And that one flock that is his follows him. Almost miraculously to the eyes of this man that had never seen it before. And then, of course, the last man comes. It's a bit easier. But again, he calls them all by name. And they follow him out of that fold. Marvellous. Just as we read of in this chapter. How in these early verses of the chapter, we see there in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, the one that's given charge overnight so the shepherd could get some sleep. The sheep hear his voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, which goeth, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Marvellous. Wonderful. This is exact as we see it in the Middle East today. Well, in ancient times, so important was the flock that the shepherd had to be wholly committed to it, to this flock, to its defence, to its protection, to its welfare and its feeding. So vital was the flock to the local community that the shepherd had on occasion to lay his life on the line. Well, David tells of old. We're not sure if that's the first time he ever mentioned it to anyone else, perhaps not even to the family. But when he said he would go out and fight the Philistine champion Goliath, and Saul was very dubious about such a thing, what was it David said to him? There was a time when I was watching over the flock, and the lion came and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went over after the lion. I slew him with my own hands. The bear also. Well, you see, David knew what it was to lay down his life. In that sense, laid on the lion. He wasn't killed, but he, by his experience and his weapons, was able to kill the lion. And the bear, well, that shows you how keen these shepherds were that were so closely an intimate relation with their sheep in that sense. Well, not many would do this, but it wasn't just a case of the economy or the wealth of the family or the larger landowner. In many cases it was a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, built up over many years between that shepherd and his flock, knowing each one, as we read just there in verses 3 and 4, knowing each one, knowing them all by name. There was that old sheep that has been there for ages, and he had his favourite name for him. You must realise that the Israelites, and even those in the Middle East today, they don't often eat the sheep. It's very rare, perhaps at a sacrifice, perhaps on a special occasion, but generally the flock was kept for its milk and for its wool. And these sheep would live for many years, reproducing, of course. And they would all have their names, and they would have their favourites, these shepherds, amongst the sheep. And there would be those that caused them more trouble than others. And this was known. And these shepherds became very, very experienced. And there was a great attachment to these animals. They were dear to them. Well, some of us have got pets. We understand that. We understand what happens when one of those pets dies. And we find ourselves with all sorts of emotions that we thought, well, couldn't be true of us. We're so big and strong that we would even fight back the tears sometimes in the situation. So we understand, those of us who have been pet owners, we understand the attachment that these shepherds would have had for their sheep over the years. Well, now all of this is used by God in the Bible to teach us the most important lessons about the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, the shepherd and the sheep, as we have it here in verses 14 and 15. The Saviour says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The most crucial of all the lessons taught using this example is spelt out in the ultimate dedication of Christ as the shepherd towards his people. And this is astonishing. I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, some people, they're forever debating God, what we make of him. But that's of no account, because unless he reveals himself to us, we will never know. Did you know it's against all our natural and sinful habits to really want to know God for himself? And we will never seek God's help unless we truly come to an end of ourselves. But of all the things that we might say to commend Christianity to you, or to warn every man, or to teach the Bible's message of salvation, this is the most vital matter. Jesus Christ says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Without this, there will be no message to speak of. We will all be most miserable. From beginning to end, the Bible has one tremendous truth to teach us, that Christ laid down his life for his people. And the implications of that are cosmic. We could philosophise on the fact that there must be a God. We might debate what sort of God he is. We might wrangle over what we think he ought to do, and charge him with all sorts of unfairness, as many people do. But none of that gets us anywhere. None of that gets us anywhere near what God wants us to really know. And this is one of the most tremendous things we ought to be so aware of. Jesus Christ laid down his life for his sheep. He laid down his life for his people. He gave his life, friends. We know something of this in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remind ourselves tonight of these things. He gave his life. But what did he do? The death that Christ died, the crucifixion. Let's remind ourselves of such a death. This death on a cross. Well, this cross was placed on the ground. The exhausted one, who had probably already been whipped to within an inch of his life, exhaustedly, they would be thrown down upon the shoulders against that wood, and a legionnaire will drive a heavy square wrought iron nail through that palm of the hand into the wood. He would quickly move to the other hand and do the same, but he would be careful not to pull those arms apart too tightly, but to allow some flexibility, some movement of body, and then the cross would be lifted up into place and dropped into a hole. And immediately, and nearly on every occasion, there would be the dislocation of the arms from the shoulders, while the left foot would be pressed back against the right, both feet extended with the toes down, and a nail driven through the arches into the wood, leaving the knees slightly bent. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down, with more weight on the nails through the hands, excruciating fiery pain shoots through the fingers, goes up the arms and explodes in the brain as the nails in the palms put pressure on the central nervous system. As he pushes himself up to avoid that stretching torment, he places full weight on the nails through his feet, and again he feels a searing agony with the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. As the arms tire, cramp sweeps through the muscles, they knot up, causing deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With the cramp comes the inability to push up so as to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but not exhaled properly. The sufferer fights to raise himself up from that, to give himself even a small breath, and then gradually carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream. The cramp partly subsides. Spasmodically, he's able to push himself up and give himself one short breath with life-giving oxygen. There are hours of limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, partial intense pain as tissue is torn from the back, as it's lacerated on that rough timber as he moves up and down on the cross. And then another agony begins, the crushing pain deep in the chest as the pericardium, the roots of the great blood vessels and the membrane that surrounds the heart slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart, released as seen as water, as when our Lord's side was pierced by the spear after he was dead. Now almost the end has come, the loss of tissue fluid reaches a critical level. The compressed heart struggles to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood around the body. The tortured lungs make frantic efforts to gasp in small gulps of air, and the chill of death creeps over the body. In our Bible, all we have is this: and they crucified him. But it was worse for this shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep, the physical agony. Well, it was awful, but it was nothing, friends, compared with the spiritual agony of his soul. The hymn writer puts it like this: the piercing nail, the tearing thorn, caused not the saddest smart, but every struggling sigh betrayed a heavier grief within, when on his burdened soul was laid the weight of human sin. It became a curse of God in the place for sinners like us. The sin of all his people was imputed to him, and he bore it in his holy soul upon the cross. All the furies of hell were let loose on his holy soul, Christ's humanity experiencing the felt separation from his Father. Well, we speak of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood of his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. And we sometimes sing, as we just have, "Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin." The Saviour says here, "I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life." Here he does it as a volunteer. And those are very important words that we read of the Saviour giving his life, laying down his life. We read, "He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. His life was given up It wasn't taken from him. He said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Not taken, but given up. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man give up his life for his friends. Christ's life was not a common one. It was not the life of an innocent person only, but the life of a mere man, but one who was God and man. It was the Lord of glory and the Prince of life incarnate who was crucified and slain. A life that was entirely at his own disposal. It had never been forfeited by sin. Men or devils could not take it. It was laid down of and by himself freely and voluntarily. This is astounding to us, friends. We read here, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. For the sheep, as a substitute. He died in their place. In my place condemned he stood. Oh, that's what we read of here in the scripture. He died as a ransom for them, a substitute, standing in their legal place instead. He took their sins upon himself. He bore the curse of the law. He sustained his Father's wrath and all the penalty due to sin. And so he suffered death, the death of the cross, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But who did he lay down his life for? The sheep. The sheep. This is an amazing thought. He laid down his life for the persons who elsewhere he calls his friends, but they were not originally so, being enemies and at enmity with God himself when he laid down his life for them to reconcile them to his Father. They were not such as had carried themselves freely, friendly towards him or had shown any love or affection to him, but all the reverse. The sheep were the enemies of God, but they are so called because he has chosen them as his friends. And he came to them and resolved to make them those that were at one with him. And by dying for them, he reconciled those who were enemies. Who are the sheep? Originally enemies. How will they be known as sheep? Well, we have it here in verse 16. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, I must bring them, and they shall hear my voice, and they'll be one, and have one shepherd, myself. Well, this is marvellous. The first sign that someone could be counted as one of the sheep is this, that they hear his voice. Have you heard the voice of the Lord? We don't expect to hear a voice from the sky. We don't expect to hear some miraculous sounding angel speak to us. But have you heard his voice from the scripture, from the preaching of the word of God, speaking to your very heart, speaking to you quietly in your mind and telling you of your own heart and of his so willingness to save you? Our friends, have you heard his voice? Have you heard his voice convicting you of your sin, showing you that you've been so wrong, so foolish, so far off from God, so offensive to him? Have you heard the voice of the shepherd convincing you that these things are so true and that he is the only one that can save you? Have you heard his voice? Have you heard his calls to come to him and trust in him and repent of your sin and yield your life up completely to him? Have you heard his voice telling you to respond to his gospel call? Oh, friends, no. Do you know what is asked of you from his voice? To repent and to trust in the Saviour and yield yourself up to him. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, friends, have you heard the voice of God in your heart? Who are the sheep? The sheep are those that believe. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you could be saved in the hand and in the charge of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, are you a believer? And he lays down his life for them, the sheep. Who are the sheep? Verse 4, the sheep are those who, when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you someone who truly follows him? Are you an imitator of the Saviour? As far as we frail human beings can be, to live the sort of life that he lived, to be loving, caring, concerned for others, those that do not see ourselves as of any importance, but always put others first. Oh, friends, are we those that are loving and not jealous? Oh, friends, are we emptied of pride? Are we imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of him? Are we obedient to him? Are we those that want to look into his word, hear what it says, and then do what it says, being obedient to him? Are we those that are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ because our lives have been changed? We cannot be the same again. We've experienced Christian conversion and now we live for the Lord. Are we Bible listeners? Are we those that love to open up the Bible and listen to what the shepherd would say to us each day and follow those instructions? Are we those that are prayers, those that come to God with real prayer, seeking our shepherd, knowing his blessing, speaking with him? Oh, friends, these are the characteristics of true sheep, those that have come to know the Saviour. The sheep are above all those that know the shepherd and know that he has laid down his life for them. This is the theme of every sheep's life that truly knows the Saviour. Every true Christian, this is the big thing. He gave his life for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. He died in such agony upon the cross, agony that I cannot begin to understand. I sometimes hear, as we have tonight, what he went through physically, but spiritually, I cannot plumb the depth of it. It must have been awful that on his holy soul he would take all my wretched sin, but he gave his life for me. Sheep, true believers, true Christians know that. He gave his life for me, and this changes their lives. And this makes them have all the motivation they need to love him, to worship him, to stand for him, to follow him all their days. Oh, friends, all their days they live in praise of the great sacrifice that he made for them. And they are yielded to him. They will go anywhere for him, do anything for him, risk anything, sacrifice everything, because he laid down his life for them. There is no question. There is no confusion. There is no doubt. Who are the sheep? They have but one Saviour, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for them. They only know one thing really, and that is to follow him with all love and all trust and all dependence. Oh, friends, what is our life? Are we such sheep? Do we know Christ? Do we hear his voice? Do we follow him? Do we live our lives in the light of him, having laid down his life for us? Look here, as we finish here tonight, verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Is what we say incomprehensible? Is what we say tonight silly? Fantastic? Foolish? Well, that hardly applies to his sheep, does it? Oh, friends, if we were to be his sheep, we are to understand and we're to follow him, listening to his voice, responding to his call and following him. Look here again, verse 28. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Sheep understand this. They see it. They wonder at it and they praise. They know. They know their shepherd. Oh, friends, come and respond to his call tonight. Follow him, for he is one that would give up his very life for you and your salvation. Let's pray together. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank thee for such an illustration in the scripture, but for such a reality of what our Saviour is and how he laid down his life for his sheep. May we be his sheep. May we prove that to be true in hearing his voice, in responding to such a call, in following him. And, oh Lord, that thou make us truly thine. Even this night, we ask it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.